Blog Talk Radio.
Well, all the Republicans voted for it.
Yeah, but they're all from
freaking hell. They all are from freaking hell. I mean, where do they get off with this? These Republicans are out of their goddamn minds.
Okay, listen to this one.
Pew Research
is encouraging a generational war over Social Security and Medicare. Matthew Yoglesis points to a new piece from the Pew Research Center that it seems was written to spur a non-existent generational battle over Social Security and Medicare. Look, we understand it's difficult to write explanatory text to go along with the pretty sophisticated research included in the article, but the text you write should have at least some connection to that research. Pew failed to meet that standard. Here are the six ways the Pew article tries to encourage generational warfare over Social Security and Medicare, that its own data shows doesn't exist, in which they know pretty clearly when they say Social Security and Medicare are practically sacrosanct. 9 in 10 Americans say they're good for the country. Number one, they're telling young people that old people are going to starve them. Pew writes, at a time when young and old don't look alike, think alike, or vote alike, how will America modernize its entitlement programs so they're in sync with the new demographics? How can we keep the faith with the old without bankrupting the young and starving the future? It will be difficult. While it is true there are some demographic and political differences between the generations, they're smaller than this kind of sweeping statement suggests. The Obama versus Romney gap between the oldest and youngest generation was only 16%. This kind of pitting of the generations against each other is not necessary, and it isn't based on solid principle. Pew implies pretty heavily here that the much-fabled Social Security crisis exists, even though it doesn't, and the fix is really quite easy. Number two, vague fear-mongering. But the status quo is unsustainable, Pew continues, and the math of the 20th century simply won't work in the 21st century. While these are powerful statements and nice sound bites, they aren't accurate. Making things up. Today's young are paying taxes to support a level of benefits for today's old they say have no realistic chance of receiving when they become old. And they know it. Just 6% of millennials say they expect to receive full benefits from Social Security. Fully half believe they'll get nothing. Pew doesn't provide any evidence to back up this claim. I'm going to sneeze. Pardon me. Fuzzy mask.
Fuzzy mask.
Excuse me. Allergies. I'm sorry, folks.
Meantime, the cost of our programs for seniors will soon exceed half of the federal budget, Pew writes. This spending continues to crowd our budgeting for education, research, infrastructure, investments that would help build a better future for millennials and their children. That's a freaking lie. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Throwing Social Security and Medicare into the same pot is sophistry. Social Security is self-funding, does not contribute to one dime to the deficit, and its spending as a share of the economy is fairly stable over the long term. Medicare costs, by contrast, are projected to increase at a worrisome clip, although the most recent projections indicate the long-term imbalance is not nearly as great as projected over a few years ago. The problem is that projected health care cost growth throughout the economy is too high, and we will have to find ways to deliver health services more cost-effectively in the shifting cost of individuals. One big-ticket solution is negotiating lower drug prices for Medicare. Yes, but none of this has anything to do with Social Security, much less with funding for education, research, or infrastructure, which has been under attack for decades from some of the same people who want to cut Social Security and Medicare benefits. A good way to pay for these investments in these areas would be ending tax breaks for outsourcing $583 billion over 10 years and asking the wealthy to pay their fair share of the taxes, contradicting themselves. At its core, is a problem of generational equity. Pew writes, but it needs not be, needs not lead to a generational war. A war needs combatants. We find very little evidence from our Pew Research survey that old and young are spoiling for a fight over these issues. Yeah, well, the old are supporting the young, for crying out loud. Okay, shifting blame. If Americans can bring to the public square the same genesis or the same genius for generational independence they bring to their family lives, the politics of these issues will become less toxic and the political policy choices less forbidding. That's big if that, but it is, but it's a start. I don't know what the hell he's talking about.
Well,
except for Adada, just showed they're already going doing this. Let's forget about that. But the important thing is that, you know, some of these writers get off the wall. But, you know, what I'm talking about, what they're talking about here is they're blaming the old. Okay, they're trying to create a division between the old and young. And it's wrong. It's wrong.
Cut the crap, scrap the cap.
Yeah, well, it's not.
People want a piece of the pie, right?
Yeah.
And they were worried about taking too much of the pie. Well, my mom thought...
not working.
Okay.
Sorry, folks.
All right. Six reasons why unions are essential for creating broadly based prosperity. At the end of March, the Roosevelt Institute launched a new project, The Future of Work, which takes a look at the changing landscape in the area of workers' rights and representation in the political and economic system that affects their lives. Author Richard Kirsch does a great job of explaining the economy and discussing potential policy solutions in the report titled The Future of Work in America, Policies to Empower American Workers and Secure Prosperity for All. And Kirsch said, the future of work is bringing together thought and action leaders from multiple fields to reimagine 21st century social contract and expand workers' rights and increase the numbers of living wage jobs. The future of work is focusing on these areas, promoting new and innovative strategies for worker organizing and representation, raising the floor of labor market standards and strengthening reinforcement of labor laws and standards, and assuring access to good jobs for women and workers of color.
Well, here, there's a series exposing coal companies, lawyers, doctors' roles in black lung denials, and it wins a Pulitzer. In an investigative series by Chris Hamby of the Center for Public Integrity about how coal companies fighting claims of the black lung and the disability benefits that sick and dying coal miners are due when they are diagnosed with this crippling and fatal disease employ cutthroat law firms and select groups of physicians, including a small unit of John Hopkins radiologists, was awarded the 2014 Pulitzer Prize for investigative reporting.
Oh, that's good. Ryan, Republican budget cuts, federal workers' take-home pay. Imagine that. Yeah, it's unbelievable what this Ryan is.
Well,
he's some kind of a rat. He's some kind of a mole.
He's being supported by the Koch brothers.
Yeah, but he's a rat fink.
Well, he's getting paid to do it.
He's a rat. I mean, he's...
Well, he's getting paid extra money to do it.
I don't care if he's getting paid billions. He's a rat fink. Crap. Okay? Okay, Ryan, the Republican budget cuts.
I just said he was paid to do that way.
Yeah, but call a rat what a rat is. You know what I mean? Last week, House Republicans passed the Ryan budget. It won't become law because it won't get through the Senate, and President Obama would veto it. But because it's the budget statement of the Republican Party going into fall elections, it shows voters who the Republicans really are. This budget of House Budget Committee Chair Paul Ryan from Wisconsin dramatically cuts taxes on the wealthy and their corporations, paying for it with enormous cuts in the safety net and in the things government does to make our lives better. This tells us who the Republicans feel they represent and who they don't. One of the things this budget does is give federal government employees a big cut in take-home pay. All right?
Specifically, instead of the government funding the pension obligations they have promised to people who come to work in public service, it increases the amount that federal employees have to pay into their pensions. It also eliminates the special retirement supplements that certain employees who retire before the age of 62 and have nothing until they start to receive Social Security. Under the Republican-passed budget, employees enrolled in the federal employees retirement system, enrollees would contribute 6.35% of their paycheck.
Right.
Let's see what else we can do.
We're
in other words,
right, right?
There's a cut in their take.
Calling Larry Dorman from Aspa Union. And hello, Larry. You with us?
No, that hung up there.
Yeah. Let's try it one more time.
Currently, under FEERS, federal employees who were hired before 2012 must contribute 0.8% of each paycheck to their pension. Those hired in 2013, 3.1%. And those hired in 2014. So this breaks the two deals. Maybe not home yet, huh?
Hi, you've reached 860-677-0059. Please leave your name and number, and we'll get back to you as soon as we can. Thank you.
Yeah, hi. Larry, this is Leo and Lila. We were hoping to have you on at this point. I guess not.
Do you have his cell phone?
So give us a call if you get this message. Thank you.
We'll try you on your other phone.
At 646-915-9505.
Do you have his cell?
Yeah, hang on a second. Why don't you finish this article?
Yeah. So that budget breaks the deal that we were just two cutting taxes on the wealthy and corporations breaks the deal that we the people would get something back from those who prosper from our investment in education, infrastructure, and protection of business and the monetary system. Note that in last year's budget deal with Senator Patty Murray, Democrat of Washington, Ryan negotiated a similar cut in the take-home and pensions for military employees. However, Congress voted to restore those benefits. Nice guy. He's always trying to cut benefits, always trying to make people feel rotten. Well, he does a good job. I wonder how much he gets paid by the right to do that. Trumka answers Redditor's most burning question on CEO pay, unions, and let's see, Maryland passes Responsible Contracting Act. No more Mad Men pay.
The answer to this cell phone.
Paywatch. CEO pay. Same
level. Hey, guys.
Hey,
hi, Larry. How are you?
Good, good. I actually was running late from work, and I just got home, so sorry about that.
Do you need 5 or 10 minutes? We'll call you back, or?
No, you want to just call me right now on that home phone number? That'd be great.
Sure,
yeah,
we'll
do that.
I'll go back.
Yeah, that way it's a better connection than the cell phone.
Just hang up, and we'll call you right back.
Great. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Okay.
All right. Keep going, Layla.
So let's see what else is on here. Executive pay watch. It's good to be a CEO, at least pay-wise. According to the 2014 AFL-CIO Executive Pay Watch, it's 331 times better to be a CEO than an average worker.
339.
Oh, my God. By the average pocketed $11.7 million in 2013.
Hey there.
Hey, Larry.
How are you?
Good to be back.
Good to,
How are you guys?
Reading the average executive gets paid. Are you
ready?
About,
what, 300? Yeah, go ahead.
$11.7 million in 2013.
Yeah,
the CEO of an S&P 500 company.
It's 331 times more than anybody else, than the average worker.
Can you imagine that, $11.7 million? While the average
unfortunately,
worker,
I can.
35.
We just got,
it's happening.
We just got disgusted by reading the Ryan budget.
Have you read that?
Oh, we've been, my national union's done an analysis of it, and, you know, the whole thing is just, we're in the theater of the absurd.
Unbelievable.
How about tax benefits for companies sending jobs abroad?
Yeah.
Right. I mean, that's the thing. Is these guys don't even care anymore.
No, they're not even in this world. You know, it's like
They don't even pretend.
No.
Nope. that's absolutely what's going on here. They don't even pretend.
But the problem is that the people they represent, what are they, out of their minds as well?
Oh, you people
well,
who
Leo,
elect
when
them?
You can get away with it, The Ryan budget, I mean, look, this is the only beneficiaries are corporations and the wealthy. You know, I think reading through it, it replaces Medicare with a voucher system, puts insurance companies in charge of their health care decisions, it destroys Medicaid, it forces cuts to
everything.
You know, to slash health care services. There's so many things it does. You know, it destroys domestic spending. It decimates public services. And, you know, it's not an accident. You know, budgets like this don't just happen. They're boosting the bank accounts of millionaires, and they're absolutely out of touch with the needs of working Americans. So, you know, it's not an accident, Leo and Lila, this stuff happens, you know.
Oh no, it's not an accident at all. I mean, this is premeditated murder.
it was supported.
Yeah,
by all
that's
the,
a good way to.
God.
Supported by all the Republicans.
Party line.
I was appalled. I just couldn't believe how bad it was.
I mean, there's not one Republican of any conscience in the entire administration and the entire government. I mean, an entire Congress anyway. I'm just beyond the pale of belief. I've never seen it quite this bad. I never have. I don't know. Maybe you have, but I can't remember any other time, any other Congress that was so anti-American. You know what I mean? I've never seen one like this. Have
nope.
You?
It's a good way to describe it. It's unpatriotic and anti-American.
And, of course, nothing is being said in the general media about it. Word mentioned about that budget. Nothing.
Why is that?
Well, because they own the media.
In the liberal media, you know?
Well, there's nothing.
Yeah, so much. Yeah. Oh. I mean, you know what I'm laughing at? So much for that liberal press.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we know who owns the media. I mean, it's all owned by the corporations and oil companies and insurance companies. And, well, you know, it doesn't represent the average worker, that's for sure.
Oh, and like, I think we talked about this the last time you were on, but we just read another thing about the Pew Foundation and, just decimating public workers' unions and, you know, trying to establish a war between the young and old, you know, and
right,
overwhelming, Larry, I swear, I have never, I mean, I can't even remember a time when it was this bad, you know?
It's pretty scary. It's pretty scary stuff. I mean, you know, no doubt, because I don't think you've ever seen, I mean, I don't know what happened after the New Deal. I mean, you know, this is, I will say that these, probably this rollback of everything, you know, probably the efforts date back to that. But in terms of this mixing of bad politics with hate mongering and everything that goes with it, really seems to be a product, you know, Nixon and Reagan onward. You know, the Republicans have really perfected the craft, and the Democrats look fairly helpless in trying to fight it sometimes.
But even during the worst of the Nixon times, the worst of the Reagan times, the worst of the Carter times, I've never seen such a, I mean, all the attacks were against, well, seemed to be focused against the presidents at that time, you know? Congress, but never, it was never seemed to be an outright betrayal of the entire system, you know?
And, you know, I have no, look, I have certainly no expert. I just, you know what I'm fighting for and what I stand for and what I've seen. And, you know, certainly one thing I've seen, I bet you guys have seen it, though, is this absolute flooding of corporate and wealthy special interest money. I mean, if anything's corrupted the system and led to the situation we're describing tonight on your show, it's that. There's this no, you know, there's no counterbalance to that corporate and wealthy money. There really isn't. The Supreme Court is... you know, a corporatist Supreme Court, and they just ruled last week, or I should say 2 weeks ago, on that McCutcheon decision that further erodes, you know, the campaign finance system. And that's one factor. I'd say if we could put our finger on one factor, that's a preeminent one.
Right. Dan, I was watching early this morning, they had on C-SPAN, they were talking about, they had this woman from politic.com or something, but they were discussing the Supreme Court decision that now allows the any individual to spend any excessive amount that they want to, or a corporation.
Right.
Okay, yeah, I know, and they were talking about this one particular man who was willing to spend over $50 million, okay, to support some candidate and cause, you know, in this thing. And it was just, and all they could say, and all they said was, oh, the Supreme Court decided that this was honest, that this was honest example of freedom of speech. Money is freedom of speech, you know?
Right, right.
You
know, that's the perversion that's taken place. And
But what happens if you don't have any money? You have no speech. You have no
power.
Your question's rhetoric. You know the answer. Unfortunately, sadly, if you don't have money, which none of us does, you don't compete.
No.
And then you end up with the Ryan budget, and you end up with privatization and outsourcing and the selling off of American jobs and, you know, the spreading of misery around the globe. You know, this is what we end up with in this crazy
How much of that budget do you think will creep in to get adopted? Do you think any of it has a chance? Or?
I hope not.
I think certainly, you know, yes, because of the fact that Congress is so paralyzed that even if they can't come to consensus on the budget, you know, cuts go into effect anyway, rescissions go into effect. So, you know, the radical Republicans have accomplished what they need to by gridlocking Congress. And so even if the worst parts of this budget disappear, parts of it will live on in terms of cuts happening, you know, because the debate now isn't about how to tax the wealthy and the corporations. You know, we should be debating all of the tax breaks that they get and looking to rescind those to actually generate revenue that supports people in America and services in America. And that debate, as you noticed, isn't taking place, is it?
The debate seems to, it's going to be around how many more tax cuts the wealthy should get.
Yeah.
Right, and how many more social and infrastructure and other kinds of programs you can cut. So, you know, in the end, we always emerge with a budget where one side says, the Democrats say it could have been worse, and then, you know, or the Republicans say next time we'll make it far worse. And, you know, so we're, you know, we're debating constantly as a public between bad and worse. And, you know,
and
again, I'm, that goes back to that money situation that I think you just described. You know, it's perverted the process.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but I mean, I have because I look at the media constantly, and I have never, ever can remember a time when I've seen such outrageous whitewashing, okay, of anything of significance in the media. Have you?
Nope. Yeah. You know, look at how they covered the pension crisis in Detroit. For me, you know, it's the fault of the workers, not the credit swaps and the financial manipulations that led to losses, you know, not the hockey stadium where something like $200 million in tax dollars went to it. You know, that you just mentioned before, the Pew Foundation and John Arnold, who was an Enron executive who helped rip off his employees. You know, so these people are pointing the finger at folks like Lila and saying, you know, it's public employees who are the cause of our economic misery. And, you know, and that's a horrible, wrong, immoral narrative, and but it's the prevailing narrative. And the media isn't there to...
And because people hear it over and over and over and over again, just by that, it begins to be a reality and they begin to believe it. See, it's a form of brainwashing,
but
you know. That's what happened.
But, I mean, I don't know. What I'm getting at is that what I'm trying to say is that I've watched ABC, NBC, CBS, watched the local media and the national media and the statewide media, and it is all an absolute whitewash, Larry. I can't believe it. I mean, I just can't believe it. I mean, everywhere you look, there is nothing of substance being talked about. It's all a huge propaganda, whitewash, weather channel, cooking show. You know what I mean? On national news.
Well, actually, what they've done is they've expanded the weather part of the broadcast. And if we get three drops of rain, it becomes a big tragedy.
That's what they spend the entire time talking about. Even the national level news.
Sure, it's the bait and switch. You know, they're not covering the things that need to be covered. And, you know, I agree with you. They're occasionally PBS Frontline occasionally has some programs that help. But, you know, they're locked in a controversy because the Koch brothers, the infamous Koch brothers, are trying to kill a document that was going to air on Frontline. So, you know, you don't look to the mainstream media for the truth because the mainstream media is a partner to, you know, helping decimate public employees and unions in general.
But it's such a violation of that. It's such a violation.
But the flip side is we're fighting it. You're fighting it by doing this. I'm fighting it by doing what I do. And, you know, there are a lot more of us out there than we realize. We've just been sort of separated and, you know, maybe disbanded from each other. And I think if people would realize that, maybe we could put on a more sustained fight back.
Union, you know, it's like everything you're trying to do is minimalized, censored, you know, edited, you know, just
you're lucky
distorted.
If you get a sound bite on,
God,
you know,
it's just a struggle beyond. I've never seen it quite like this before. I've never seen it like this.
How this system is.
They're strangling the internet. They've absolutely muted any kind of broadcasting, any kind of national broadcasting of any significant news. NPR has taken over. I mean, they are just as bad as any. I haven't heard anything of any value in that station, on those stations in the last 3 or 4 years, maybe ever since ever since the influence of the Kochs, ever since the influence of the Pew, ever since the influences of these mega corporations have captured you know, the economic heart of those programs. It's just it's bull. I mean, it's complete and utter bull. You know, so I don't know. I get bitter, Larry, but you know, I get angry because you know, you feel like you're the only guy. You must feel every day like you're the only guy with a bat in your hand. You know what I mean?
I'm not naive. You know, we're outnumbered and we're outgunned, but it doesn't mean we stop fighting.
You just keep standing at the base trying to hit everything that comes your way. You know, every wild pitch that comes at you. You know, but that's the way we feel. But we keep going.
I think Connecticut is in better shape than a lot of the other states. You know,
I would definitely with that. Definitely agree with that.
Some of the other states, the people are really, really suffering. It's terrible. They have very unfriendly governors, and they have a majority of unfriendly people in their legislature. I think Connecticut's in better shape than that, which gives me hope.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably because of the good job that our unions here are doing, and you've been able to have a voice and be able to get some of our people elected, which has helped.
Right. And, you know, and that's the thing, is that we have to recognize all these horrible things that are happening in the economy and broader society to working families. You know, it's the result of politics, quite frankly. You know, it's the result of, you know, venal politics where politicians, elected officials blame unions, and they privatize, they outsource, they lay off, they strip bargaining rights. But all of this is happening politically. So, you know, Connecticut, thankfully, is a little bit more of a moderate state politically. And we've been able to do a good job of advocating and negotiating decent contracts for our members, state and local government, and, you know, have legislators protect that at the state level. But, you know, the Koch brothers, we had that Wisconsin forum where Wisconsin workers came in a couple weeks ago, and one of them told us, the Koch brothers are coming after you in Connecticut. You know, don't let your
Oh, really? So what did they mean exactly? What is going to happen here?
I think what's going to happen here is that, you know, these far right forces are going to pour a lot of money into defeating Dan Malloy and getting a reactionary governor elected, and that's why I say that all of these horrible things that have happened are because of politics. So if they can elect, say, Tom Foley, he said Connecticut needs its Wisconsin moment. He wants to roll back collective bargaining rights for public employees. So, you know, one of the guys in Wisconsin said, you really are an election away from disaster. You know, that was
really the
message they kept hammering home at this forum. Yep.
How do we plan to fight that?
Well, for us, for our union, what we're going to be doing is educating our members, reaching out to them at every possible way to talk about the importance of the elections, the importance of politics, and also remind them that they have an obligation to stand up for their pay and their pension and their health care.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to have that kind of sustained fight where they're thinking every day about what can they do. You know, if it means going to a rally to support another union, do that. You know, if it means voting for a politician who may have some bad votes but overall is committed to the idea of collective bargaining, then vote for that person. You know, we've really got to be aggressive in telling our members it's about their pay, their pension, and their health care. And, you know, the Wisconsin workers, you know, they've lost $12,000, $15,000 a year because of these changes in health care, in wages, and everything else. Let's bring it back, if I can, you know, just finish the, you opened up with that thing about the latest CEO pay. It's 331 times the average worker. Well, guess what? You know, if they destroy the unions, it's going to get worse.
Yeah.
Absolutely right. I mean, you can't imagine, getting worse than 331 times less money than your
right.
CEO.
What does everybody, these guys talk about it at the state legislature and Congress? got to cut middle class workers' salaries, got to cut their benefits. You know, it's crazy. How did we get here?
See, that the average wage of the American worker is $35,000 a year. I mean,
which is not enough to survive on.
You know, that's
and
working
and that's,
poor.
And that's if they're working, for crying out loud. You know, you've never. I don't think there's ever been a higher unemployment rate in this country than there is right now.
And again, take it to the Wisconsin worker making that $35,000 a year because of what the Act 10 that Governor Walker there pushed through with the help from the Koch brothers who funded his campaign. One example, county workers in Milwaukee saw their premium share go from about $500 a year to $4,200 a year. So, you know, you just took $4,000 out of their pockets. You took away their union rights. You took away grievances. You took away – nothing is grievable anymore. You know, you took away every opportunity for them to earn or keep their foothold in the middle class. $35,000 isn't enough to survive. You guys know that. And there are a lot of working Americans making less than that. Most of the paras we – many of the paras we represent, paraprofessionals, don't earn that. And yet, they're the problem. We have to take away their health care, you know, their 401ks or their pension plans.
Well, that's always what gets chipped away, you know.
Well, why are they so adamant about destroying the middle class? Why?
You know why? Because they smell, you know, the rich can't get enough, and they smell blood. You know, they smell more money, more power, and
America isn't big enough. They can sell all their stuff to the Chinese middle class, Leo.
Right.
We were the biggest consumer nation. We are no longer the biggest consumer nation.
Right.
They don't care.
Right.
They have a bigger buying power in China.
Yeah, they got over 400 million middle class and growing in China. We only have 320 million people in the entire country, all
right?
And less than 100 million of those people are in the middle class, all right, anymore, all right? I mean, how the hell are we possibly competing with you know, all the jobs?
Ultimately, we
can't. Going overseas, everything is leaving us, you know? And
ultimately, we just can't. So that's why we're at a key moment in our political and social and economic lives. I really do believe that.
What's your opinion of the Trans-Pacific policy there, Trans-Pacific Partnership?
We're opposed. The AFL-CIO is opposed to it. AFSCME is opposed to it. It's another bad trade deal, and it's an example of how corporatist politics, the domination of politics.
But this was all fast-tracked by Obama.
And the other two.
I'm not disagreeing. Look, NAFTA came under Bill Clinton. So, you know, George Bush, the elder, started it and Clinton finished it. And, you know, NAFTA really started that death, that death rumble for American manufacturing. And this would absolutely destroy it. So we're fighting it. It is, Senator Murphy's come out against it, Congressman Himes. I mean, there is a lot of opposition to this thing in Congress. Whether that translates into its defeat, I have no idea, because, again, the corporations are putting tremendous amounts of money into this thing.
I don't even think they had a vote on that. It was just signed.
No.
Well, the whole thing about fast track trade agreements is that you don't have to vote on them. That's why they're called fast track. They just get procedurally enacted. So it's even scarier than the typical.
But they can. They can put a block against it
if there's enough will.
Larry, do you see in the union? In the United States? As you're looking at polls and everything else, do you see an awakening? Do you see a resistance growing? Do you see any positive elements happening here, or do you think we're just getting...
Are we just going to be run over?
Yeah.
No, I do. I think there is a tremendous... I mean, and I think, again, that's the value that unions play. You know, I think there's a tremendous amount of anger, and not just from union members, but from, you know, everyday working folks who see the tremendous economic inequality, the income gap, the wage gap. They see the economic injustices being perpetrated by the corporations and the super rich, and they're angry. So, you know, has the anger been totally focused? It's hard to do. So, you know, maybe we have to sink a little bit lower before people totally wake up. But I do believe there's a significant section of folks out there who are pretty pissed off.
I do too, but you know,
it would be great if we could focus that so that people make a real stand.
But you're not seeing it. I'm hearing bits and pieces, small reports on different protests that are happening around the country, but there's no... seems to be no significant
rally,
yeah, that you can rally around. There, it's all local or regional.
Mm-hmm.
And
I would agree.
All your major activists, anti-war activists, and everything else, all the propaganda crap we're getting from them these days, all right, is to save the Cuban Five or stop the Ukrainian invasion, you know, stuff like crazy stuff like this. You know, rather than focusing on, you know, helping the unions or help, you know, saving the country. You know what I mean? Like Occupy Wall Street.
Yeah,
right. You know.
And one of the problems is that working people have been fractured by these corporate and wealthy special interests. So you have gun owners fighting, you know, their own union members about gun control. And one of the guys from Wisconsin had a great line because he was talking about union members supported Scott Walker because of the conceal and carry gun legislation.
Yeah.
And then John English, who was from Milwaukee County worker, said to our audience, he said, then, and guess what? A lot of those conceal and carry guys, they don't have any of the jobs now.
There you go.
So, you know, but people have been pitted against each other by Fox, by the media, and that's made things more difficult. So everybody's fighting their own.
It's the oldest plan in the book. It's divide and conquer. They've used that very successfully with a lot of heated issues. Gay rights, abortion. You know, all of these things have caused division in
everything.
It's certainly in the Democratic Party. And, you know, it's a problem. People have to separate those emotional issues from the core issues of democracy.
Pay, pension, and health care.
Yeah.
And self-preservation.
Self-preservation. I mean, you get so many people who just don't recognize what they're voting for and what it means.
They're voting against their interests. So, hey, guys, I hate to do this. I need to run.
Okay.
All right, Larry, thanks for being with us.
Yeah, no problem. I've got to eat. I'm not going to lie to you. I have not been able to eat dinner yet, but I love talking to you guys, so thank you for having me.
Here.
Keep up the fight.
And have a great day.
We will. We'll talk. Thank you. Happy Easter, and we'll talk next month, I hope.
Yes, we will.
Take care now.
Excellent.
Good night, Larry.
Thanks, guys. See you.
He just got home.
That was Larry Dorman, the public affairs coordinator for AFSCME
Union.
Larry's fired up, and
he has a hard job. I mean, he gets home late every time we talk to him. He's either on the road or he's just come in the door.
His job is 9 to 9.
Oh, it really is.
And
or later.
But we want to thank him very much, and of course, AFSCME for. You know, being there and working as hard as they do. But
these are very precarious times for working people.
It really is.
I don't know what would happen if we didn't have a union.
It'd be devastating. I mean,
people would have nothing.
Would have nothing.
They would have absolutely nothing.
Yeah, there'd be no standards. There'd be no, you know, anything, you know.
As bad as things are now, it'd be far worse without a union. Far worse.
Oh, I think so.
Oh, I know so. They don't want. They, you know, corporations don't want to give the average person anything.
Yeah, we've been hot under the collar, but I think it might be a good thing to change the subject because there's a lot of really bad stuff happening. But it turns out 90% of New York measles cases, I guess there's an epidemic in New York.
Oh.
Turns out that they were all vaccinated. The people that are catching the measles.
Oh.
90% of them are vaccinated. Have been vaccinated. Were vaccinated.
Are these young people, old people?
All kinds of people. Okay. And hang on a second.
That's shingles. Oh.
Yeah, it's not. It's there are all kinds of pop-ups on this thing. Yeah. I don't know, really.
That's a bad sight.
No, actually, they were good, but you know, they forced to prostitute themselves to these damn groups that, boy, it's too bad. Anyway.
You can't get to it.
Yeah, I did get to it earlier, and I'm really upset because they get these damn pop-up things. All right.
It says 98% to play that.
Yeah, 98% of New York measles cases were vaccinated.
Newsblitz. CSNPhilly.com. No vaccinations fueling measles. Let's scroll down to the meat and potatoes, and we'll try to figure out why it is they named the article that after I read this next line. According to the New York State Department of Health, 2 of 20 people infected in a recent measles outbreak in New York City were children who had not been vaccinated by their parents' choice. It's funny how they use the words parents' choice there at the end, huh? As if the children had a way to opt out of the vaccinations all by their own doing. Let's keep pushing forward through this cesspool of mainstream media-made nonsense. The Independent Florida Alligator, New York City measles outbreak spurs vaccination discussion. The funny thing about this article is the one thing they failed to discuss is the fact that most of the people involved are vaccinated. They do point out that the measles is highly contagious and 90% of the people get sick who are in close contact. Let's keep going. We got NBC10.com, measles outbreak fueled by declined vaccinations. An outbreak in New York has health officials concerned about a resurgence of the disease. Let's scroll down a little bit and show you something here. Once again, we've got, according to the New York State Department of Health, 2 of the 20 people infected in a recent measles outbreak in New York City who were children who had not been vaccinated by their parents' choice. So let's get this straight here. 90% of the people involved are vaccinated, yet it's the unvaccinated that are responsible. So if my unvaccinated kid gets sick with the measles, how are they going to get your vaccinated kid sick if the vaccines work the way they're supposed to? Anyway, let me keep pushing forward here. I give you this link also along with everything else I just showed you. The health and mental hygiene here in New York, they talk about it, but they don't mention anywhere in the article about the percentages of vaccinated versus non-vaccinated. So if you want to learn more about all the eugenic weapons that are being used against us on a daily basis, come here, Experimental Vaccines. Subscribe there. I'll see you tomorrow.
Experimental Vaccines. Check that website out.
Oh.
I tell you, guys, it's like, you know, that's what it is out there. That's what it is out there. And there's nothing more.
41 senators voted to block a bill to provide benefits for veterans this week. Was yours one of them?
Let's see. Alexander, a Republican from Tennessee. Ayotte, Republican from New Hampshire. Barrasso, Republican from Wyoming.
They're all Republicans.
Most of them. Boozman, Republican from Arizona. Burr, Republican in North Carolina.
They're all Republicans.
Yeah. Every single one of them is a Republican.
So yeah. They voted for these guys to go to war, but they're not going to pay any
benefits.
But
now they want to provide the bill to provide benefits. It was blocked for veterans this week.
All Republicans.
Every single one of them.
Yep.
All right, and let's see, who do we have here? Texas, Wyoming, N.Z. Fisher, Flake, Graham, of course, no, that's not Lindsey Graham. I thought he was South Carolina.
Republican
of
South
Carolina,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Lindsey Graham, you know, voted to block the veterans. McCain voted to block veterans for benefits.
Yeah.
Imagine those bastards.
He's always trying to push them to go to war,
yeah,
but he won't give the veterans
any
benefits.
Go to war, kill, and then cut your veterans' benefits.
Nice guy.
What kind of a
Cruz, Republican, Texas.
Oh, yeah, Cruz, big man for, you know, running for president. You know, these guys are all bastards. every single one of them, all right? Scott, Sessions, Shelby, Doom, Toomey, Vitter, Reich, Portman, Paul, Rand Paul, Mr. Rand Paul, the a-hole of a-holes, Cruz, the a-hole of other a-holes, McCain, the biggest a-hole that ever walked on the planet, okay? All right, these guys are all, it just totally amazes me. All cutting veterans benefits.
Yeah, sure.
What criminal. Oh, we got another little one. I don't know if anybody's interested, but it turns out that we've got a photo here of Prince Harry hunting wild buffalo emerges as royals launch a campaign to protect wildlife. Okay? Yeah,
well,
true story.
Well, he's an idiot, too.
Well, they're all idiots, but, you know, hey, it's inbred, you know? I don't know. Oh, here's another wonderful woman. Imagine this. The governor of Oklahoma bans minimum wage increases and paid sick leave laws. Imagine that, huh? Yeah, this is something wonderful. You're a woman, you know, who's, I mean, there's no, you can't believe that any woman is as fine, women are as heartless as men when it comes to anything like that. They just don't, you know.
Not coming up.
Well, hang on a second. Anyway, Governor of Oklahoma bans minimum wage increases and paid sick leave laws.
That's
yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And let's see. Martial law. Obama confiscates the National Guard's helicopters from all 50 states. Imagine that? That's amazing. I mean, why? Why isn't that news, huh?
There isn't any news on
that.
No,
I don't understand that. Why don't you would think that we make major news, wouldn't you? Hang on a second here. Just stand.
Nothing is coming up.
Well, it's coming. It's just slow. But anyway, it's just amazing how you can get away with this stuff. Is, you know, if Obama's purchase of more than 2 billion rounds of ammunition and nearly 3,000 urban tanks, along with their unprecedented and highly illegal domestic spying program, was not enough to convince you that the federal government is about to suspend the Constitution once and for all, the man who once vowed to run the most transparent administration in history has just rather inexplicably ordered the U.S. Army to seize every Apache helicopter currently in use of the National Guard. That's not a... Hang on a second. God, do I hate pop-ups. I hate them with a passion. Jeez. Okay. From the National Guard. Yeah. You know, I curse people who advertise with these. I mean, I know they need the revenue, but good Lord, when you put these horrible, miserable pop-ups into and advertise every god-awful thing on earth just to make a single 50 cents or something, it's just not worth it. You destroy your entire system. I can't get it's just frozen. Yeah, they got too many things. Sorry, folks, they got too many. Don't go to this site if you can ever get to this site. It's not worth it. Okay. It's not worth it. I hate sites that do that. They just are, you know, they just destroy you with this stuff. And, with these pop-ups. Yeah. Well, anyway, we will be, let's see, we got about 1 minute left, so we really haven't got much time. But we want to thank you for joining us tonight, and we want to thank Larry Dorman for being with us tonight, and we hope you'll join us next week.
And have a good evening, folks.
Yes.
And don't pay too much attention to the mainstream media. They're not telling you anything.
They're not telling you a damn thing.
Go to the Internet.
And the Republicans are the most, I mean, Democrats are not prize winners either, believe me, but these Republicans have just showed themselves to be the complete, utter un-American, traitorous bunch of hypocrites that have ever walked the face of the earth.
Yeah, they don't even pretend anymore.
So please, folks, just, just please make up your mind, but don't vote for a Republican idiot. You know, just don't. Anyway, good night, everybody.
Good night, folks.
And hope to see you in the newspapers or something.